From the horse capital of the world, the great city of Lexington, Kentucky, welcome to Red Barn Radio. Wherever in the world you're listening, join us as we celebrate the music of Kentucky. Tonight, Red Barn Radio presents a landmark Australian bluegrass band that has played at most major and minor folk and country festivals throughout Australia, New Zealand, and currently touring the United States. Tonight, they're with us. Bluegrass Parkway. Stay tuned for their music and stories right here on Red Barn Radio. Barn Radio is brought to you with the financial support of LexArts, Lexington, Kentucky's Arts Council, creating a great American city inspired by the arts.
Red Barn Radio. I'm the host of Red Barn Radio, Terry Powell, and I'm glad to be here for Red Barn Radio's 432nd performance. We are coming to you from the Performance Hall at Arts Place here in the great city of Lexington, Kentucky. Tonight, Red Barn Radio presents Bluegrass Parkway, visiting us from Australia during their current U.S. tour. It's a night of traditional bluegrass sound, as it sounded in the early days, right here on the Red Barn Radio stage. Please welcome Bluegrass Parkway.
Just a little.
Here's Red Barn Radio's host, Terry Powell, with Bluegrass Parkway. Here's Terry.
Wonderful. That was just wonderful. I am so tickled to be here with Bluegrass Parkway. We have Maria Duff on the bass, Paul Duff on the mandolin, Mick Fabio O'Neill on the banjo. Yes, ladies, he looks like Fabio. And we have, stop laughing. We have Wayne Perry on guitar and vocals, Donald Baylor on the fiddle. Welcome.
Thank you very much.
How long have you been over in the States this tour?
Well, we've been over, I think, about nearly 2 weeks. We've just started a little while ago, and we've been up to St. Louis and down in southern Illinois, and then headed over to Lexington to spend some time. So we're just first third of the tour, probably.
The crowning visit on your tour.
Yeah.
And how long will you be here?
4 weeks.
Paul Duff.
So we're finishing up at IBMA down in North Carolina.
Oh, nice.
So a good four-week tour, which is fun.
And this is your first time here with us on Red Barn Radio.
It is. First time on Red Barn Radio. Yeah. We're really enjoying being able to be here.
Tell us a little bit about how this band got together.
Well, this band started way back in 1987. January 1987.
Wow.
We started the band, so we're celebrating our 27th year together. Thank you. We really enjoy getting applause for just hanging around. It's great. It's always a wonderful thing. Longer than a third of most marriages, probably. But we started the band after Maria and I moved back to Australia to live after we met in Lexington in 1985 and moved back to Australia in 1986. One of your local musicians in this town, Mr. Ted Critchfield, came and visited us towards the end of 1986.
You sent him back.
Well, you know, even Australia doesn't take defective goods all the time.
And there was only room for one banjo picker.
No, Ted was a founding member of Bluegrass Parkway.
That's right, he was.
Yes, he was there for a year. Yeah.
Way up, Ted.
Yeah. And we're indebted to him too, because it started off a wonderful experience for us. And Ted was in Australia for about a year and then headed back to the States. He was wanted in 14 different states, so he had to get back there and deal with it, really.
They don't want him anymore.
Romeo and Juliet and Jackie and Jill. Romeo took poison, Jack fell downhill. I've got you and how it will turn out, I don't know. But if loving you is killing me, Lord, what a way to go. If loving you is killing me, Lord, what a way to go. If there's a better way to die, I don't want to know. So I put my right out the face and let him lay me low. Cause if loving you is killing me, Lord, what a way to go. When you hold me tight, so wrap those arms around me, babe, and let sweet love flow. Cause if loving you is killing me, Lord, what a way to go. If loving you is killing me, Lord, what a way to go. If there's a better way to die, I don't want to know. So I'll put a smile right off the face and let him lay me low. Cause if loving you is killing me, Lord, what a way to go. Yeah, if loving you is killing me, Lord, what a way to go.
You took Maria, married her, and whisked her off to Australia.
Well, I whisked her off and then married her, actually.
Okay.
Yeah, we married when we got back to Australia, but the very, very brave woman.
We weren't allowed to get married here because he'd outstayed his visa.
No, I had not. No, my visa was fine. It was just a couple of minor details, and I did talk to the U.S. consulate in Perth, and they said it's okay now.
So I'm not sure what's more amazing to me, you know, 27 years as a working band or being married. And in the same band for that long.
How I'll tell you what, sometimes I feel like I'm married to all of them.
She's bossy enough for all four of us, I'll tell you that.
I knew I liked her.
Yeah, four onto one Kentucky woman. That's about a fair fight, almost.
I think so.
Yeah.
I know Ted was an original member, but how long have some of the rest of you been with?
Well, Mick O'Neill is the next senior person in the band. And Mick joined after about 8 months, I believe it was.
Oh, wow.
So he's been pretty much there the whole time. Donald Baylor joined us about 14 years ago. 2001, 13 years ago.
So the new millennium. Okay.
Yeah, he's the millennium kind of guy. Wayne Perry joined us 2 or 3 years ago. Wayne, we burn out guitar players like Spinal Tap does drummers. We've known Wayne for many, many years, and we've always enjoyed playing music with him. And he was on the East Coast for a while, and then he moved back west, and when Guy retired from the band, Guy Parris had to retire because he made so much money with us. It was a full-time job trying to spend it all. So now Wayne's with us, and he's the newest member.
To we meet in here.
just joined us. Tonight, we're with Bluegrass Parkway on Red Barn Radio.
I'm also curious about bluegrass in Australia. How did it get over there? It came before Maria?
Most definitely, yeah. There was bluegrass before Maria.
Yes. I took it.
Just like to clarify that I was playing bluegrass well before I met Maria.
Oh.
And all of us were, actually. I can't really give you a definitive date on when bluegrass made its way to Australia, but I'm sure the war had something to do with it. I'm sure there were people playing banjos and fiddles and stuff during the war, and that influence sort of spread into Australia. There's always been forms of folk music and a lot of sort of Irish and British folk music, but you know, I think bluegrass for many years is sort of one of the minor genre that has been there, but you know, there's evidence of bands, performing bands and recording bands from many years back. In the time that we've had this band together, we've seen a huge increase in the interest of bluegrass music. And there are actually bluegrass festivals. We used to really go to festivals, folk festivals they were called then, and we would be the only bluegrass band there. And a lot of our performances were a little bit of sort of an educational thing too. And but now there are actually bluegrass festivals, so it's taken off and it's very popular.
You do carry on the tradition, don't they, with the hats and the suits? It looks wonderful.
Oh, thank you. Well, we think it's a little bit missing. You know, we've sort of seen it fade out a little bit now that that first generation has sort of passed on. It's something we think is a little bit lacking, because with a single microphone, you get that visual. If you're in the proper kit, you get visual as well. And we've noticed, you know, to have a band move around a microphone and do the choreography that goes with it, it adds a little bit to it too.
And I noticed that you all do that seamlessly, move in and out for. Now? I could not ever train Ted
to do that. He won't move for anyone.
We put a spot on the floor and he stayed right there.
With you.
notice when you sing, I don't hear your accent so much. I hear them now.
Well, you don't hear them when you hear the Beatles either. You know, I think there's something about the lilt of singing. I think has, you know, when you're singing, you know, you're lengthening vowels and there's flow and there's a fluidity to what you're doing. And I think that has an American flavour to it anyway. Mm-hmm. And quite often, to me, hearing the Irish sing and talk has an American lilt to it as well. So we don't deliberately try to sing in an American accent. It's just the way that we want to get the authentic sound without consciously putting on an accent. We want it to sound like the Stanley Brothers or Monroe. Some people who try to put on a heavy accent really stand out. So I think there's just that consciousness about the genre that we're doing. We really love the genre of music very much. It means a great deal to us. We just want to do the right thing by it and get the sound as authentic as we can.
So Paul, tell me, how did you get into bluegrass?
It's a really unusual thing with bluegrass music because it truly is an international mm-hmm. genre of music now. In the 70s, you know, the Japanese really latched onto bluegrass music. Well, it's all around the world now, and all of the European countries have very strong followings of bluegrass music. And I don't know if it's the same for everyone or even the rest of the folks in the band, but for me it was that sort of cathartic moment of walking into a pub and seeing a bluegrass band. And I'd listened to music and enjoyed music, but I'd never really been stirred to want to play it. And I was 19 years old, hadn't played an instrument before, and I walked out of that pub at the end of the night saying, I want to play that music. And it really just totally changed my life. And I went out the next day and bought a fiddle and tried to find someone who could give me some lessons and that kind of thing. And it really just sort of smacked me. And it was like I was bitten and bitten really hard. And I think it's often said that that's the way it happens. I'm not sure, you know.
Well, we'll find out. Yeah. So, and you didn't pick banjo?
No, I didn't. I thought I'd pick the easiest one, fiddle. Yeah, right. You know. And after a year of thrashing away on the fiddle, my fiddle teacher said, you know, mandolin is tuned in the same tuning as a fiddle. At the time, I didn't see that as a slur. Well, we're going to do an old-time gospel song for you now, folks. This is one we first heard Dore Lawson and Quicksilver do many, many years ago, and we recently were lucky enough to be the lead band on the inaugural Australian Bluegrass Cruise. So we got to hang around on an ocean liner, and they sailed us around the place, and they paid for everything, and we ate a lot. It was a really tough gig. Very, very tough gig. We put our name down for a second stint, too. And we decided then, because since we're going to be on a ship, all our gospel songs would have nautical themes. So this is one of the ones that we picked. It's called We Are on the Sea of Life. And we're going to get Maria to sing this for you in her own special way. We sort of try to hang in there, but we sort of get Maria about 10 or 12 yards back while we try to sing our bit. And you'll know what I mean when you hear the first chorus. She is from Kentucky, so she can she can scream the chrome off a tow hitch, you know.
On the sea of life, sailing to a better home, where the safe of the earth shall abide. Leaving all our trials here, many pleasures wait us there, when we cross the bar and reach the other side. We are sailing on the foam. We are talking to the captain as the anchoring goes home. Soon the sail will raise the harbor and be safely on the tide. We are going onward to the other side. On the tide, where the rest of pilgrims wait free from care. There is room on board for all who will heed the captain's call and take ship for heaven's country bright and fair. We're sailing on, we're sailing, sailing over. We are talking to the captain as the anchor blows on. Soon your ship will reach the harbor and be safely on the tide. We are going onward to the other side.
Coming up, more Red Barn Radio with Bluegrass Parkway, recorded live from the Performance Hall at Arts Place in Lexington, Kentucky. We're back with Bluegrass Parkway after this break. We'll be right back. Welcome back. Join us now for more Red Barn Radio. Tonight, we're with Bluegrass Parkway, all recorded live from the Performance Hall at Arts Place in Lexington, Kentucky.
Donald, tell me, how did you come into bluegrass?
The thing in for me, and maybe a lot of other Australians, were LP records becoming so prevalent in the 1970s.
Donald Beeler.
We were suddenly able to hear the music, and those LP records had lots of not only pictures but factual information on the back, liner notes and things like that. And we were able to read about it, and then through books and all those things, just through media, basically. But we had to seek it out. You know, being very isolated, it took a lot of effort to seek it out. And like Paul and all the others, I guess, we found something we really loved, and so we made a really special effort to really hone in on that. And having an older brother that played music and brought records into the house was the thing for me.
Was the fiddle or the violin your first instrument?
No, it wasn't. It was interesting. I didn't know Paul played the fiddle.
I don't play the fiddle.
Because my first instrument was the guitar. I played that for a few years before I played the fiddle. So it's funny how we actually started on different instruments that we kind of focus on now. But I liked the guitar first up, mainly because there was one in the house. And then somehow I got a fiddle, and suddenly that was the thing I really wanted to play.
Thank you.
The photographs hidden in an old
from a home where the poplar tree stands. She's a child of the bluegrass, a girl from the south, far away. Will she ever return?
Will she ever return to her old family home?
To the house where her memories,
house where her memories
and a childhood belong. I know she's still southern, and that's how she'll stay. A child of the bluegrass, a girl from the south, far away in a great southern land. Summer is like nothing she's seen, and the winter holds no chance of snow. The trees show no color in the months of the fall, and I know where her heart longs to go. Someday she'll return to her old family place, and I will go with her.
Actually the oldest in the band, so I think my influences were from watching things like Roy Rogers on TV, Sons of the Pioneers, and also the Andy Griffith Show and things like that. So I always had the influence in the back of my head.
Mick Fabio O'Neill.
Yeah, I got interested in cowboy music, Western music, and then I kind of stumbled across bluegrass music, and I was a bit of a late starter because I spent the first 30 years of my life sitting on a surfboard, but once that became a bit boring and I had a bit of a family, I thought, oh, well, I'll try an instrument, and the banjo is what appealed, so.
Wayne,
Yes.
How did you come to bluegrass?
I was on the dark side playing folk music for a while. I was always interested in country music.
Wayne Perry.
I've known these guys for 20, 25 years. Yeah, wow. And they used to be in the folk scene quite a bit, and I always appreciated the music when they were playing it. And when I went across from Perth back over to Sydney, I actually formed a bluegrass band there for a while. And on the off chance that their original guitar player wasn't performing oddly enough here and there, I filled in. Mm-hmm. And eventually I muscled the other guy out. These guys are great teachers about bluegrass music. Once they got hold of it, it's a great form of music.
Joined us? Tonight, we're with Bluegrass Parkway on Red Barn Radio. Celebrate the music of Kentucky.
Maria, were you raised with bluegrass? I was assuming. I don't know.
Maria Duff.
Well, my dad liked bluegrass and what I call original country music. Mm-hmm. My mom really liked classical music, so I had both going on in the house. She played piano and loved listening to opera and so on. And so it turned out I am a classical musician by profession. but I didn't really have a chance to play bluegrass before I met Paul. And I was just really busy with the youth orchestra here and playing at the University of Kentucky Orchestra and so on. But a week after I met him, I was doing my first bluegrass gig.
On the bass?
On the bass, yeah. Oh, so I actually originally started on violin. But I started on bass, I think at the end of ninth grade. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and but then I did my university work on double bass because my first goal was to be in a symphony orchestra on bass.
Wow.
Which I did when I moved to Perth. I played with the WA Symphony Orchestra for 12 years.
Oh, I would love to hear some classical bass. We'll have to talk after. I have heard you play classical violin at the wedding gig.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, and you were twinning with Joanna Benford and she was playing the viola, I think. Or you did some twin fiddling as well. Wonderful.
Beautiful harvest moon. And
That mandolin.
This mandolin is one that I built myself. It was cheaper that way. I've been building mandolins, I think, since 1982. I think I built my first mandolin, and got into it because I love bluegrass music, really, and wanted to find a better instrument. I mean, today there are just so many wonderful choices of instruments. Us luthiers like to think it's a bit of a golden era of instruments for people to play. You know, there are so many choices at lots of different price ranges, but in late 70s, early 80s, I can tell you it was a little bit tighter in Australia, and it was hard to find a good instrument, and I wanted an F-style mandolin with a scroll, and there weren't any of those around except for some Japanese mandolins, Ibanez mandolins, and they were hard to get hold of and they were expensive. So I decided to have a go.
How many have you made?
The latest batch, I think, of the highest is 197, so just up to under 200. Early next year will be number 200.
That's amazing. Do you use Australian wood or?
No, I don't. No, I'm building instruments that are basically following the Gibson mandolin family of instruments from the 1920s, very specifically 1922 through to 1924. And that was a period that a fellow called Lloyd Law, who was the acoustic engineer in charge of the mandolin area in Gibson, he was a virtuoso as well as an acoustic engineer. And he was looking into redesigning their instruments from having an oval hole where the fingerboard lay on the top to something that would really project in a hall and be heard above an orchestra, because he used to play in front of orchestras, because there were lots of mandolin orchestras in those days. He set about redesigning the mandolin. And those particular ones that he worked on, not personally worked on, but designed and organized the work on, have a separate label in them with his signature on them.
The Lloyd Lords.
And they're worth about $200,000 now.
Yes.
So if anybody out there's got one they want to give away, I'll give you my email address.
Now you correct me if I'm wrong, but I think Chris Thiele plays one.
Chris Thiele does play a Lloyd Lord, yeah.
I'm surprised I knew that.
Yeah,
not one for details. And I think we have a couple of Paul Duff mandolin players in the audience here tonight.
Sorry to tell you, fellas, they're not quite the $200,000 mark. But once I die, they'll be worth a lot more.
You've not died yet. That's right. Well, it has a wonderful tone. How long does it take you to make one?
Well, I do batches of four, and I set aside about 4 months for that. I do about 12 instruments a year. But that's right from wood selection through to finishing the French polish process and waiting for that to cure and that kind of thing. So it's fairly long involved. Most of it's hand done, handmade.
Wow.
I have a few machines that I use, but in terms of the carving and the tap tuning and all that kind of stuff, it's all handmade.
So you really are about history and the preservation of this music.
Yeah, well, I think, you know, when you find something as good as that, it's something worthwhile emulating, and it's what everyone wants as well. So that's a nice happy medium for me. Folks, we're going to leave you with one that's a favourite of ours and basically sums up everything we love about bluegrass music. It's getting together with people, even at a festival, picking a little, dancing a little, enjoying each other's company. We really want to thank the Red Barn Radio Show for having us. It's been an honour to be in here. Thank you, folks, for coming out. We're Bluegrass Parkway. We'll leave you on about Bluegrass Festival called That High Lonesome Sound. Thank you so much.
Thank our guests, Maria, Nick, Paul, Wayne, and Donna, Bluegrass Parkway, the longest continuously performing bluegrass band in Australia, for being with us tonight on the Red Barn Radio. I also thank those of you listening to our webcast and those of you listening to us on the Red Barn network of stations. And of course, the members of our studio audience. Yeah. We thank all of you for supporting the mission of Red Barn Radio to promote, preserve, and perform the music of Kentucky and the region. I'm Terry Powell, the host of Red Barn Radio, and until we meet again, keep enjoying the music of Kentucky. One more, Red Barn Radio.
I'm the boss of your house.
Now, a blonde kiss, give me all you got. Don't give him to me cold, give him to me hot. Cause
baby,
I'm telling you, baby,
I'm the boss of your house.
Now, hon, you learn you can only speak when you've been spoken to. I'm telling you now, I let you know what I want to hear from you. When I say boo, so you can crow. When I say get,
I'm telling you, baby,
I'm the boss of your house.
Come on, boy. That's enough out of you. When I start talking, then I want you to stop. Cause
baby,
I'm telling you, baby,
I'm the boss of your house.
When I want a kiss, give me all you got. Don't give them to me cold, give them to me hot.
Cause baby,
I'm telling you, baby,
I'm the boss of your house.
Red Barn Radio would like to thank Maria, Mick, Paul, Wayne, and Donald, Bluegrass Parkway, for being with us tonight. Red Barn Radio's executive producer is Ed Commons, who also directs our show. We also thank our volunteers, especially Linda and Glenn Dawson, Lynn Hacker, for her help with our social media. You can attend a Red Barn Radio concert in person. You'll find us on the web at redbarnradio.com for performance dates and times. Like us on Facebook. Follow us on Twitter. The Red Barn Radio Playout theme was written and performed by the Downtown County Band. The full version of this song can be heard on their CD release under the title Monterey Blues. Thanks so much for listening. We'll be here again on this station next week at this same time with the traditional music of Kentucky. I'm the voice of Red Barn Radio, Tom Brown. Red Barn Radio has been brought to you with the financial support of LexArts, Lexington, Kentucky's Arts Council, creating a great American city inspired by the arts. Red Barn Radio is a production of Red Barn Radio, LLC.